Okay, so continuing on the question of Shemitah and Hanukkah candles. Right. So yesterday we dealt with again, from Rosh Hashanah Zalman's perspective, the first question he wanted to ask was whether the heter of Achila Hadlaka are related in the way they are on Yom Tov. Right? Where on Yom Tov, it's clear that the heter to burn, right, to light a fire, is an expansion of heter Achila, and therefore is going to be limited. Is going to be limited to context in which it is plausibly hanas ha'adam and therefore not mitzvah. Whereas Rosh Hashanah Zalman thinks that hadlaka by shmita is not like that. Hadlaka is an independent path towards heter, right? And therefore, once it's an independent path towards heter, not a subcategory of hanas ha'adam, so then hana of a mitzvah is going to be a kalvachomer from hana of a yachid, right? That was his first point. Okay, bet. Hana mitzvah b'per tshviyat. Fine. So then he says, ulevad mizan nirim yisvara mucha chnami midan harajba. Dafilu im yesh gam hana aguf b'shakiyum a mitzvah, gam kin amriyan and mitzvah lav lehanos nitnu, mishum deroan and not aguf kim mivutelet lagabe a mitzvah, asher ala amriyan and mitzvah lav lehanos nitnu. So then he pulls the next move, right? Which is, as we said yesterday, one of the things that might make it hard for us to look at the performance of the mitzvah of hana is a rule called mitzvah lav lehanos nitnu. Right? Good. Okay, can everyone put their phones in the middle? Thank you. Thank you. So, someone tell me, how, when it says mitzvah lav lehanot nitnu, how might you understand that rule? So what does it mean you can't say you're driving hana? So look, let's distinguish. Let's be sharper about it. So what mean? It is possible. Something's like possible. What do you mean it's not possible? So what does that mean? Okay, that's an extreme one, which is if you enjoy a mitzvah, then it is lacking. So if you like, right, that is a very, like, I don't know. That's a very interesting philosophy of life, right? Which is if you're doing because you enjoy, that somehow detracts the mitzvah. You can. I'm not saying there aren't people who say things like that, which is you're only supposed to do a mitzvah out of a sense of obligation. If you enjoy it, that's like a problem. But most people don't assume that it's like a problem.
It's not normal.
What?
It's not normal to
get on that
permit.
Why not?
Any mitzvah without eating would automatically, well,
oh. Yes, it would. So you're all thinking psychological, which is, you're not really enjoying it. But that's a... What?
Well,
what? What do you mean? No, what I'm saying, like, what you're saying is, right, is that you can enjoy it, but you're not going to. Right? Mitzvah lav lehanot nitnu just means you're not going to enjoy it. Right? But I don't think that's a plausible read. I don't think it's a plausible read. For one, it goes against the pasuk in the Torah, which is a pretty bad thing to violate. Right? Which pasuk in the Torah does it go against? Oh, that's one of them, sure. Right? That you have to enjoy the chag, but what else? Right? The end of the tochacha. Why is God punishing you? Because you serve God not with joy. I think it would be a very implausible conclusion to say mitzvah lav lehanot nitnu means that if you enjoy a mitzvah, somehow that detracts from it.
So maybe it's that you can't get any hana from it outside of the action of doing the mitzvah.
Okay, so maybe you'll say it means you can't, but obviously there are certain mitzvah that's not true, like mitzvah that have achila, where obviously the enjoyment you have is, right, intrinsic, right? You may not enjoy matzah, but objectively speaking, right, halachically you get hana, right? You have calories and the like.
I would argue that since it's intrinsic, then therefore it's talking part of the mitzvah.
Therefore, good. So now help me define it.
The main part of the mitzvah is not for and not just the secondary thing that can come out of it.
Okay, so now we're being... Okay, that's not the same as what Mordechai... That's not the same as Mordechai. What you said is what Rosh Hashanah Zalman is going to say, but, right? Sort of. What Mordechai said is different, meaning... I don't think you realize. You both said different things, right? One possibility, I think what Mordechai is getting at, is that even if you get hana'ah, it doesn't count halakhically, because any hana'ah, which is part of the mitzvah, is considered kiyum ha-mitzvah, it's not a halakh, it's a halakhic statement. It's not a psychological statement. Now, Ellie, I'm not saying there aren't people who say things like mitzvah lavei hanu means that you shouldn't, well, put it this way. Some of them say what it means is, at least part of it is, you shouldn't do a mitzvah for enjoyment, right? It doesn't mean you can't enjoy it, right? Those are different statements, right? The second one is much more radical, right? And I think theologically very problematic, right?
Did anyone
understand the second? I mean, Rashi does have moments where he says that the only legitimate reason that you're supposed to do a mitzvah only because it is a yoke on your neck, and if you do it for another reason, like you think it's moral, then you are not performing a mitzvah. And if you do an act which indicates that you're doing a mitzvah because you think it's a good thing to do, that actually detracts from a mitzvah, and it's very bad. Right? Rashi has this moment in Sanhedrin, right, in Ayin Vav, where he says that if you return a lost object to a non-Jew, that is terrible. And the Gemara says that. But the reason that Rashi says is because then it shows you're not only doing l'shem mitzvah, you're doing it because you want to. And you're not supposed to do things because you want to. Most people reject Rashi for many, 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 many reasons.
How does that have to do with hana? Like an involuntary thing.
Correct. And also, I'm not sure that's about hana, right? That could be about, right, motivation. Am I doing the mitzvah? Again, but that seems more about motivation. Am I doing it because I'm commanded, or am I doing it because I want it? That's not the same as saying that once I do the mitzvah, do I enjoy it?
How are you doing it?
No, so that's what I'm saying, is that I don't think that Rashi in the end of the day is speaking to this issue, right? Meaning, that's a different question, which is, should you be a virtue ethicist and think that the ideal is to get to the point where you naturally want to do mitzvot, or should you do mitzvot out of a sense of obligation? That's not the same as saying you shouldn't enjoy mitzvot, which is what several of you said at the beginning, which I think is, I mean, I don't know. If that's what people told you growing up, then I'm very sad, right? I don't think they did. If anything, in Rafayim, they did the opposite. Having been there for a few years. Yes, I know, we've had this conversation, that's why I'm saying it, right? No, I think, if anything, right? If anything, it's the opposite, is that modern educational theory is the opposite, is we don't teach people obligation. Right? We think that if we teach people that you do things because you enjoy it, right, then suddenly they will do things.
Everybody has a myth that they connect with. That's like what everybody's already done.
Yes.
Yeah,
right? Right. The sense of teaching a sense of obligation is like out of style. Right? That drives me crazy if you haven't done it. Right? I mean, understand why people do it, but like, come on.
Isn't there a difference between Tanqua and Hama?
Yeah, there's also different, right? Meaning all of you were also conflating hana with simcha, which is saying mitzvah lavei hana, and it just means you shouldn't enjoy it. Right? That's not what it means. Right? Hana is, right, hana is pleasure, right? It's physical pleasure. Physical, usually. Right? Yeah, something else, contentment, I don't know. Maybe it's the difference between, if you want it to be very formal, it's the difference between, maybe something like the difference between, right, between hedon and eudaimonia. Right? To use the more formal Greek.
I've never heard of that.
Okay. Hedonomia, right? Hedonic okay. Lifestyle is, hedonism. Right? Hedonism, right, is a philosophy in which, right, as a philosophy, not just as a lifestyle, is that the point of the world is physical enjoyment, is pleasure. Now, that, in Greek, there's a very, right, Aristotle says the point of the world is eudaimonia, right? Which, while can also sort of be translated as pleasure, that's not really what it means. It really means the human flourishing, right, the human flourishing, right, reaching your potential, something like that, right, contentment for deeper reasons, right, this is the problem with translating it, but yeah, it could be that hana'ah is more hedon, and simcha is more, right, is more eudonomic joy, that's possible. If I've lost you with this Greek aside, then...
Well, I mean, otherwise you have to be
like... That's fine. What? Yes, I know. The irony is not lost on me. That on Hanukkah, I just explained a halakha concept through using Greek philosophy. I do understand the irony. Ellie, it wasn't as ironic. When I was in my third semester of YU, I think, I was in Intro to Greek Philosophy and in the fall semester. And this particular class started right at candlelighting. So two guys in the class who liked lying at Shkia, me and one other person, we got special permission to come late to class to light Hanukkah candles and then would sing Yivan and Nikva to Alai from lighting candles to our intro to Greek philosophy class, which did feel a little bit, I don't really know what it felt like. It felt wrong. I don't know. It felt wrong. Yes, it was great. It was great. It was a great class, first of all. The professor was awesome. He ended up being my thesis advisor.
I would advise for doing that every day, considering he's been constantly making waves about how he's going to burn all the Greek philosophy.
Yeah, I don't think we should make this about a personal attack, but okay. Which he's allowed to. Zach! I said stop. I said I don't think you should make this personal. Thank you. Yeah, clearly it is, so please stop. Unbelievable. Okay. But coming back to Rosh Shlomo Zalman said more like, right, asked more along the lines of Mordechai versus Josh, which is, does Mr. Lavdehano Nitnu mean that the hana that you get from mitzvah, even if it exists, doesn't count, right? Which is what Mordechai is really saying, right? The hana doesn't count because it's swallowed up in the mitzvah.
Even if I gain hana from the...
Correct. Even if I get hana, it doesn't count halachically.
It's annulled by the fact that it's from...
Right, meaning it's defined halachically in the mitzvah, right? Exactly as Ellie said, it's right. From a long percentage, it's like annulled. Maybe that's a good word, right? Yeah, that's probably a good word. Now usually that's a kula, right? But in this particular case, it's not a kula, right? Why? Right? If, now let's bring it down to the, in this particular case, that would come out as a chumra. Why? Because Shemitah, you need to benefit. And if you think that Mr. Lavli Hanat Nitnu means that even when you experience joy, it doesn't count halachically, right? It's not joy. We just made that mistake. Pleasure, right? Hana'ah. It doesn't count. Then what, Mordechai? Then even though you're getting hana'ah from the candles, you can't use Shemitah oil because any hana'ah that you're going to get that would matter Shemitah, we erase it, right? It doesn't exist, right? But what Josh said is subtly different. What did Josh say? Josh said, no. Mitzvah lalei hana'ah doesn't mean that all hana'ah is discounted. What does it mean? It's not defined as the ikar, and therefore, whatever the question is it being done l'shem mitzvah, l'shem hana'ah, the answer is always going to be l'shem mitzvah. But that doesn't mean that we discount the hana'ah, and therefore, if you say the mitzvah lalei hana'ah doesn't mean that the hana'ah ceases to exist, but it means it's secondary, and therefore, whatever the question is, what's primary, the answer is l'shem mitzvah, but by Shemitah, maybe you don't need it to be primary. What do you need it to be? Existence, right? Exactly. Meaning, therefore, when having hana would be a problem, what do? We discount it because we say it's a mitzvah. But when you need hana, we wouldn't discount it because it still exists at some level.
What would be the right? Where you would discount the hana? Where would lead you to an avera or
right, meaning where there's an isser hana'ah on something, or the classic case, right, is by a neder, right? If I say I promise I'm not going to get any hana'ah from Kobe, right? So that excludes cases, I'll do an easier case. I'm not going to get any hana'ah from Shlomo, right? But then Shlomo goes and gives me a blessing, thank you, right? That's fine, right? Meaning that's not the point, right? Right, that type of thing is excluded. Right, that's not. So that would be. So that's what Rosh Hashanah says. Right, Rosh Hashanah says that if you hold like Mordechai, then what would halacha be? It would be usher. Right, Mitzvah Lavli Hanah Nitnu means that objectively we erase the hana. So then, but by Shemitah, you need it to be for you. But if you hold, like Josh, then what would you say? Ah, even though it's L'shem HaMitzvah, that means it's defined as L'shem HaMitzvah. But it doesn't mean the Hana doesn't exist, and maybe that Hana is enough. Right, so look at how he look inside. He said, the Han is denoder min hamayan, atalitva bachama min asino, I'll read it again. Levat is in every svar mukach namidara rajba, dafilo mi gam hanat haguf, bishat kium hamitzvah, that even if there is pleasure, gam kiam mitzvah, min hamitzvah lav lehanat mitzvah, mishum dirol et hanat haguf, kimibutelet legave hamitzvah. We look at it as if the benefit you get is, right? Right, but not nullified in the way that Ellie says, like nullified and cease to exist. It means that, or he's taking it nullified. Nullified can mean one of two things, right?
It doesn't count.
Exactly, right? It doesn't count or doesn't exist, right? He's saying if it meant it doesn't exist, which is what Ellie said, what Mordechai said, so then it wouldn't exist. That'd be a problem here. But if it means it doesn't count, so for Shemitah, that may be enough. It'll say, okay, so it doesn't count. What does that mean, it doesn't count? The point is, I'm enjoying it, right? So therefore, he says, in Cain, lived in Rehem, Yazalalik Shemotoshvi, and Lamot Torah. Right, so that's Truma. He's rejecting this position. Right. He's saying, if you really felt that it's nullified, point doesn't exist, so you also allowed like Shemesh Roshvik de Lomotar, you wouldn't be allowed to burn Truma oil to learn Torah, because the second doing and learn Torah, it's not enjoyment at all, and therefore it's usher. Right, but he says that, right?
Also,
but he says that's not true.
Also, according to that, wouldn't you be able to just use the Hanukkah candles for Hanukkah?
We're going to get there, right? So Rishon Zalman goes on for a while, and he says, skip that to the next page, right? He says, V'nir l'fiyat na'i da'i, right? Second paragraph. And he says, therefore, I suggest a different model. The Ritva says, even though you do enjoy the mitzvah, he says, no. The Rajva says, like Eli and Mordechai, that mitzvah lav ne'an doesn't mean the hana ceases to exist. Right? But the Ritva says, even though you are enjoying, the enjoyment is not problematic in cases when there's a problem to get hana. So he says, okay. So therefore, if that's the case, and then he brings other examples of this, then would it be, right? If Mr. Lama Hana didn't mean that, look, maybe I am getting hana from the Hanukkah candles, but that's not a problem, right? So then, for Shemitah, since it exists at a secondary level, it would come out of as a kula, right? So that's the Shlomo Zalman's second move, okay? His third move is maybe there's a specific heter or iser to use things like gavoa, right? So like by Yom Tov, as we said, if you do it for gavoa, it's specifically worse. So on Shemitah, do we have a heter or an iser like Avoah? So what does he say? So he says, well, the Gemara needs a special heter, lahatir aktoret komet sha'omer v'shviyat. Well, we need a special heter to say you can burn the karbana omer, right? And that the behemah of shviyat is patr min abachora. Why is that true? So he says, maybe you'd say the problem there is because it's not lahachi kaimi, and it's therefore right? The problem there, he said, was not because it's legavoa, right? There's, now he says, why might it be also legavoa? Again, the next lumdus question, why might it be also legavoa? Zach, why might it be also legavoa? Why might something be also legavoa? Misvara, right?
When you're using shita oil,
okay, you change your name, but that's fine. Yeah, Kobe's saving you, yeah? Good. So one problem is that it's a negative problem. Meaning, it's not that it's asur lagavoa, it's that it needs to be lochet. Right? And lagavoa is not lochet. Right? What's the other possibility? That it's a positive problem. That when you do it lagavoa, that is asur. Right? Lamai nafkamina. Again, lamai nafkamina. Right? Whether it's a negative problem or a positive problem. So he says, look.
When it's both lagavoa and lagavoa.
Exactly. Meaning, if lagavoa is a positive issur, meaning, once I do it lagavoa, it now is objectively defined as lagavoa and not for me, then even if I happen to get hana from it, that's not enough to be makil. Right?
Right?
Like on Yom Tov, where we say that if you cook for a non-Jew, or for Kodesh, it's usher because it's lachem below legavoa. The way it's conceptualized on Yom Tov is that it makes it usher. Right? It makes it usher. But Rav Shlomo Zalman argues that on Yom Tov, on Shvi'it, it's not that way. He says the reason by, right, it's on Shvi'it, it's that doing it lakodesh makes it not lochet, right? Why is that, right? So why does that make it better? Because then, like we said before, then if there's hanad mitzvah and hanah for you, so then what? Right? Then it might be mutter, right? Right? Then it might be mutter. And therefore, he thinks it's even mutter, for example, to use dye from Shemitah to color your tefillin. And he says, and then he proves it. And he says, you know how I'll prove that by Shemitah this is And, okay. Then he says, okay, but what about okay, no, fine. So hold that thought for a second. Okay? So skip down now to middle of Reish Tamach Dalet. He says, Ulam, Adayin Yesh Makom Lomar, Dechol Zedaf Lein and Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Shamash Vem Hacharka, V'hai Gav Neshavar Amin Lo Gar Mibed Yal Shurishu. He said, maybe that's only true of certain mitzvot, where, even though it's a mitzvah, you do benefit with them consistently. Like a Sefer Torah. Right? You use the oil, the ink, try a Sefer Torah. So it is a mitzvah, but you benefit in a regular basis. He says, Masha Inkin, the Ner Chanuk, Azal Shamash, or Haner, V'had Laki, Lo Menachin Anos. He says, okay, here's the next problem, right? What's the obvious next problem? Is that maybe Hanukkah candles are worse than other mitzvot. Why? Jeroboam, okay, but there's a bigger problem.
We can't derive
benefit, exactly. Right, he says, but maybe you'll ask me the next question, which is, okay, we've now opened up a few avenues to say that the standard for what counts as Hanukkah to permit use of Kedusha Shviyat is lower, right? But maybe Hanukkah now comes as a problem from the opposite direction, right? Which is?
You're not allowed to,
right? And maybe you could say, listen, for other mitzvot, mitzvah l'avlehana nitnu means that there is hana, but it's not so significant. And maybe the standard of hana and shemitah is really low, and therefore that secondary hana is enough to say that this is for you, right? And lochem below lagavoa isn't an active oser, right? It's just lochem. It needs to be for you, and therefore a lower level for you works, right? But that now someone's going to ask the obvious question, which is, wait a second. But maybe Hanukkah is worse, because all of this assumes a mitzvah where it's not for Hanah, but Hanah isn't actively prohibited. But once you did it, Hanah is actively prohibited. Right, you can get Hanah. So now, even if you say there is some sort of subsidiary secondary, right, this is going to be much worse. Right?
When you have the shamish, that is where you're getting your hanah from. It's still mixed in with the
other ones. Okay. So I'm going to spell it out a little bit more then. Good. So I'm going to. Right. So let's focus on this. Right. So until now, what have we been doing? We've been focusing on limiting the prohibition or the expanding the hanah you're allowed to get that counts as hanah for shemitah. Right. But now, right, the secondary question is, maybe all this is irrelevant because the prohibition to use Shemitah oil, to use Hanukkah candles, will negate all possible Hana'ah that would allow the oil to be considered for you. So what do we need to do? So now we need to analyze the issue. So the issue to use Hanukkah candles. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to use Hanukkah candles, right? Right, and we sing about it. Right, we sang yesterday. Okay, don't make me repeat my musical, my beautiful. You know, I know. That's one of the joys of life is hearing my great musical abilities. Some of my least favorite moments of being a rabbi. There was once this like Motzei Shabbos, Malala Malka, and everyone was like doing solos. Right, as part of it, like all the different rabbis. You know, the rabbis who were present at that thing divided into different groups. There was one rabbi who liked music and has a good voice, your father, right? What? Shlomo's father. This is at the Bayit, so right, Karavkin, who has a good voice and likes music, right? Right, Spitz, who has a fine, you know, who's fine but likes music. And then there was me, who is not musical and doesn't have a good voice. Yeah, that's not a good combination for, but your father made me a solo anyway. It's terrible. Anyways. The things you do sometimes, you know. Anyway, so first of all, the question is, what does it mean? So the problem is that the Gemara, what's the Gemara's example of what you're not allowed to do with Ner HaTzviot? Count money. Okay? Reading is by Shabbos.
Right.
So first of all, the Balamor reads this very limited. And the Balamor thinks that it's only usher to do things that are not mitzvah. But mitzvah purposes are always mitzvah, lower and there, so you can learn. Right. I mean, once you say that the isser is limited to non-mitzvah, so you're saying, but you're allowed to get hanah. Right? And just like normally, are you allowed to light a Shemitah candle?
Yeah. You're getting enough? Yeah.
Right? So, Shemitah candle.
So already is this lyric from both considered or not?
Well, are you allowed to, let me ask you a question. Are you allowed to light Shemitah oil to learn Torah on a regular day?
No, I'm saying.
Thank you.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so according to Balamore, you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, but I'm saying not according to
him. Oh, okay, wait.
If you're just looking at the...
Last. Most people disagree, right? Most people disagree. And they say you can't do a mitzvah, right? You're not allowed to do a mitzvah. So then you say, well, it's settled. You're not allowed to get hanah. But there's a problem, which is, what are you allowed to do, right? What do we do with our candles?
So look at that.
We light a shamash. Now, what does lighting the shamash help?
And then you can say, again, that I'm not from this time, there's not from other candles.
So,
I think it's more symbolic than anything.
So here's the machlokish. Shulchan Aruch says, why do you like the shamash? So that you don't get benefit from the candles. You can say, anyhow, no, you're getting it from the shamash.
Robe light is
correct.
From the shamash.
Doesn't
right.
matter. doesn't matter, because you can function with it, right? I mean, that's why, and look, I know, bro, when I was in high school, again, how do we not have any Rambam guys here? How's that happen?
I don't know.
I don't understand how the distribution happens. I'm still the only Rambam guy in this year. How did that happen? But on Rav Friedman makes a point of not having a shamash in his house.
Some people in 39
right? Instead, what does he do? He lays loida. Right? Right? He lays loida. Because, as Josh said, well, a shamash, okay, that's like a little bit of light. If you leave on your electric lights, it's very clear that
you do not need the lights in the
middle. Very good. Right? I even saw, this is a fascinating shayla, but Rav Moshe Sternbach has a wild fetish. Rav Moshe Sternbach says, right, most post-game assume that if there's a problem, it's on Hanukkah candles. But basically, everyone assumes that Shabbos candles, you can light Shabbos candles, right? They're meant for enjoyment. That's literally the point, right? You can light them with Shemitah oil. Rav Moshe Sternbach isn't sure, because he says maybe that was true when they used to use oil, but nowadays, you're using it for ambiance and for mitzvah. And for light, you're using the electric light. And therefore, maybe you aren't allowed to light Shabbos candles with Shemitah oil because... I would have thought that was obvious. He doesn't think that. It's very obvious. And it's very heavily argued by some later... I don't know how much later. Moshe Sternbach is still alive. Still alive, right? I don't think he died and I missed it. Right? For Moshe Sternbach. I don't think he died. I don't think so. Did he?
I don't think so,
right? He's still alive, right? I didn't miss it. Like, during Corona, it could be I missed it because there were, like, big rabbis dying every day. And, like, I couldn't keep track at some point. It's very sad. But I'm pretty sure he's still alive.
But, Irby, even when you have a shaman, you're still getting
whoa.
Is not blood according to the Wikipedia page.
Good, he is. That's what I thought. Is not blood. Very good. So this is Shulchan Aruch. But the Taz thinks not that way. Because the Taz says, the Taz asks Josh's question. That's crazy. You think that a shamash solves the problem? If there's really an Isra Hana'ah, having one shamash and eight other candles does not solve the problem. So the Taz is Mechadesh. That what? There's not really an Isra to benefit from the candles. There's an Isra to benefit in a way that is Mevaza V'Nitzvah. We call it an Isra Hana'ah, but it's not really an Isra Hana'ah. It's really an Isra V'Nitzvah.
So
when
learning Torah,
what
would be a V'Nitzvah?
One second. He says, and therefore... he says there's two problems. One is you can't get hana'ah to the bezuin mitzvah. The other is that when you get hana'ah, it makes it that people don't realize this is l'shem mitzvah. Because they think that you lit it for life. Right?
Yeah.
By having a symbolic candle that gives you a little bit of hana'ah, right? That is enough to remove the bezuin mitzvah problem. Because now, yes, I am getting hana'ah from the candles, but I'm also getting hana'ah from something else. And someone looking in will say, these are l'shem mitzvah because look, he lit another candle, which is not. Right? Now, if that's the case, right? So if you hold according to Shulchan Aruch seems to really think that the Hanukkah candles are asher b'hana'ah. What does the Taz think?
No.
They're not asher b'hana'ah. You just can't get hana'ah exclusively from the candles because it'll be mevaza the mitzvah. But therefore, if you understand like the Taz, then what are you going to say? Then Hanukkah candles, you're really getting hana'ah from it. And that's mutter, it's just not exclusive hana'ah. And therefore, once you have a shamash, then you're allowed to count the hana'ah you're getting from the Hanukkah candle. And therefore... Very good. So you could have mocked the whole thing by costing like the Taz over Shulchan Aruch. Right?
The great thing
about the answer,
anything else?
So presumably that would be part of the svara behind the Baal HaMor. That's why the Baal HaMor thinks you can't use it to count money, but you can use it to learn Torah.
Then what I need to shamash
at according to the Baal HaMor, no.
No.
If all I was planning on doing was learning Torah, then no. But you might be planning on walking to get your sefer. Maybe that, or whatever.
But that's assuming that the Hanukkah is more of like the only thing you have in your house for life.
Again, that's what I just said, that Rav Friedman, right, and many people don't like, maybe Rav Schechter also, I'm not sure. Try to remember whether Rav Schechter doesn't use a shamash, or uses a shamash, but make the point of leaving on the light ready. I'm pretty sure he thinks the lights are the ikkar and you should leave your lights on, right? I'm trying to remember if he goes as far as ever saying you shouldn't have a shamash,
like,
right, in order to make the point. I don't remember. Because
like,
I'm not sure yet whether, at the moment, whether I'm remembering Rosh Hashanah or mixing up with the Rav Friedman, who was very, very machbid on this. Like, all of my years in high school, he was very machbid on this, right? He was like, because it was to make a point,
yeah.
Right? It was to show that the reason you have the shamash is that you're using the light for something else, and there's no point to light a shamash when you can, you know, he would leave on like all the lights, like mama, you know, like. Last night was pretty bad. I had this problem because usually there's a, right, I didn't put in a light bulb in my outdoor light, right? And normally my neighbor does, right, happens to have it on, but last night no one had it on. So the only light in the path, right, there's like the street lights, right, you could sort of see. But like look right there, the only light was the Hanukkah candle. So there, right, a shamash is really necessary. As opposed to in my house, we light in bulbs. We have so many menorahs going on, right? So we don't have space in one, you know, whatever. So I have some inside. So inside, I just left all the lights on.
Even in the case where I had all the lights on, it's not like without the Hanukkah candle, they would see.
It has to be that you can
actually,
really
see.
Actually,
that's what we're literally getting nothing from.
Yeah.
So according to this,
you could go in the direction of the Taz, and that would carve out a different head. Rosh Hashanah doesn't go in this direction.
Usually, the Shulchan Aruch appointed, like, seeing them as still enough. Like, could we say that Elder was on the Taz? Like, you're still able to look at them.
Correct, but that's not Hanah. That's not Hanah. That's not Hanah. That's not Hanah. That's the point.
That's for the mitzvah.
That you're looking at the same mitzvah. Right, maybe it's even a mitzvah, right? I think some briskers like stare, just sit and stare at the candle. Right, I'm pretty sure. Meaning the grid had a minhag,
yeah.
Right?
The
grid had a minhag is that you make the first bracha before you light the candle, but when do you make the second bracha?
After
you light the first candle. Right, because lahadlik is on the lighting and shasanisim is on re'iyah. Right? Now, why does he think that? Because Gemara says that if you don't light Hanukkah candles and you're walking in the street, if you know you're not going to light that night, then what do? You start to need them, you see someone else's. So from here, the grid is derived into the mitzvah re'iya, even when you're light. And therefore, there was a diyun about this on the Migdal alumni chat this week. Right. Okay. Sometimes the conversations are ridiculous, but if they're having an extended diyun on, like, the nature of the bracha, I'm fine, that's what that chat is made for. It's not always what that chat is used for. It's also made for mazel tov, some things like that. That's great. But it's meant for hak. Or
it has alumni every single year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I'm a hill or I'm
a I don't know. We have separate groups. You'll see that at the end of the year, you know, Migdal 5782, right at the end of the year, Shmuel David will change that group into Migdal year, whatever it is, year 9, 5782, and forever. Shmuel David is really good at this. He continues until, like, the day you die. He still does this to even your guys from the first year to send out happy birthdays. He has pictures of you with your cake, right, this year, and he sends out the pictures of you with the cake, right, in, like, 5 years from now. He will send out on your birthday. He's really good at this. He's really good at keeping on top. I'm not that good at keeping on top of it, but he's really good at this. Right, and then he'll like send out if like when please God you guys get engaged and have kids and whatever. So right, he'll send it out on any year that people overlap with it, plus on the alumni chat. So we have the individual year ones, which just we keep the one you have from now, right? And then there's the Migdal alumni one in general.
How many Migdal tests is there
a lot? The answer to how many WhatsApp groups any Israeli is on is way too many. At some point, I didn't want to join one of like my extended many cousins, like far, like of my mother's generation, or like my mother's cousins chat. And my mother's like, why not? I'm like, I'm on too many chats. I just can't be on more. It's like, how many can you possibly be in? I was like, well, I haven't looked at my phone in 10 minutes. Let me look at my phone. I had 100 new WhatsApp messages. 100. Okay? It's like I'm on too many chats. I hate it. Right? I'm on all the Migdal chats. I'm on all the gap year. Like, we all have different
WhatsApp. I haven't looked at my phone in like an hour. Only 2 new
messages. It's like crazy. I have so many. It's like so many sets. Because, like, even just my shul, there's the shul one, and there's the amutah of the shul, and then there's two. There's the gal hashakeh, which is the quiet one, which only the, like, administrators of the group can make announcements on, and then there's the not gal hashakeh, where anyone can come in. For some reason, I'm stumbled. They really should leave at least one of them. Right? That was the point of it. Right? And then there's, like, the one for my block, and then there's the one for the meeting on my block, which is a separate group. Right? Right. Well, we're a very active block minyan. We have, you know, Shabbos davening, we have Marv every night, we have Mincha on Erev Shabbos, and during Hanukkah we have early Marv. On Motzei Shabbos we have two Marvs, 10 minutes before Seid Shabbat and at Seid Shabbat, you know. It's a very active minyan. We have our own kiddushes, you know. Okay, so now let's say you don't hold like the Taz. Let's come back to it. So, can you, right, so maybe you hold like the Taz, it's very easy, right? The heter is coming from? From the Shamash and the way he understands the limited nature of the Yisra Hana, right? Meaning, until, according to Taz, this Shaila doesn't really get off the ground. The reason that it's Mutter is because Hanukkah candles aren't really Asher B'Hana, and therefore since you're allowed to light candles for benefit, this is benefit. Right? Same for the Baal HaMor. If you don't hold like that, you hold it's really Asher, so then you have to do what Shlomo Zalman did, which was say, right? Remember, his first question, is Hadlaka Mutter because it's an extension of Achila, or?
Or its own thing.
Or its own thing. For Shlomo Zalman's thing, it's its own thing, and therefore it's Mutter. And then his next move, and even if you don't agree with me, maybe there's Hana, because maybe Lachem Elol Gavola isn't an Oster. What is it? It's descriptive, right? You have to do it for you. Mm-hmm. And Mitzvah Lavle Hana in you doesn't mean that there's no Hana. It just means the Hana doesn't count, but it exists. Right? And therefore, even according to Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to get Hana, but you're getting Hana. It just doesn't count. Right? And maybe that's enough. Right? Right?
Even though you're not allowed to get
the money,
you still are. So
nothing
to show on the
right says
that.
Right? So, right, again, you see how... Right. Remember, I told you, what I wanted to do is use this subject to open up, like, many different questions. And as you've seen, right, we've gotten through a few questions, which is, how do you define Handa? How do you define the Isser of Gavoa? How do you define the Heter of Lochem? Right? How do you define the Isser Handa on Hanukkah candles? Right? It opens up a lot of...
How
you
resolve the problem.
Oh, wait. No. Remember, as we started off the tshuva. How did Rosh Hashanah someone start the tshuva?
But
first he quoted all the people who said, you're not allowed to use Shemitah oil for Hanukkah candles. Oh. Right? Remember, if you don't buy any of this argument, then the simplest conclusion is, you can't use it. Okay, how do you justify all the people who say you can't use Shemitah oil for Hanukkah?
They argue on any one of these points.
Yeah, they argue on any of these points. They say, listen, when the Shulchan Aruch says Asher B'Hana, he means Asher B'Hana. And we say that it's mutter to be madlik, right, to light Shemitah oil when you get benefit, we mean you need benefit, not like secondary benefit. This is a mitzvah, you're not allowed to get Hana. Shemitah, you need Hana. Done, it's Asher, that's the Panas Shulchan. Right? In order to be moderate, which is what Shlomo Zalman wants to do, which is a much more exciting position.
Did he have, like, the intention to be moderate and then come up with other reasoning?
That I don't know. Okay? Fine. Then he has two more points. He says, Dal is a Meshur La Sura and Lagan Ermi Kushem is in Mishum Jokhtan Lishvata. So his next point is, wait a second, right? Shlomo Zalman says, look, by Shemitah, maybe the standard of what is Hana is pretty low. So he says, for example, is a store owner, Zach owns a store, what does Zach sell? Zach becomes a seller of rare books. And he is the expert, he's the person everyone goes to ask what the books say. It's like Elman. You know that Elman, before he got a PhD, owned a farm store.
Oh, yeah.
What? Yes. Yes. Right? Well, it makes sense. Right? He was the first... Well, his career path didn't really make sense. First, he was a meteorologist for 9 years. No, okay.
Meteorologist?
Okay. I should go through his path didn't really make sense. First, he spent 15 years in Klein Berlin and learned Schaff ball tests, literally. When you talk to him, he knew all the Schaff by heart. Then, he became a meteorologist for, like, 9 years or something like that. I don't know why. Then, he owned a Sfarim store on the Lower East Side, where he was just the guy that everyone talked to about any topic under the sun. Doesn't remind me of anybody, right? It's a compliment, that. It's a compliment, right? And then, some of the people from NYU that like would wander over to the Lower East Side said to him, why don't you go get a PhD? You know everything, right? So then he went to NYU, got 90% through a PhD on Parshanud, wrote many, many, many articles on it, and then said, that's not so interesting, and then started again and said, Parshanud, I mean, it's interesting.
Wait, what did he
say? Parshanud. Like interpretation of the Torah, like the Ramban and things like that. Yeah, and he got 90% of it. Like you can see, read, it's hundreds of pages of academic articles. He wrote on the Parshanut, right? Specifically, the emergence, the resurgence of omnisignificant interpretation in the 19th century, right? Omnisignificant interpretation of the Torah. What? One of the five commentaries he deals with there is the Malbim. He also deals with the Ksava Kabbalah, and he deals with the Nesiv, and he deals with Ben O'Jacob. Yeah, fascinating. Then he decided, you know what, not only am I going to switch to Talmud, I'm also going to invent a new field of, basically, from the ground up, of comparative study with the Iranian material and trying to reconstruct the intellectual milieu of specific members of Chazal by tracing all their shita, and then became the father of a new field, and then had a joint appointment at YU and Harvard, where he taught this. Yeah, he had a very interesting career path. Smart man. He was very interesting in YU.
He's still alive?
No, he passed away a few years ago, unfortunately. He was fascinating. His rule in class was that he used to quote everything by heart, and if you ever caught him in a mistake, you got an automatic A in the course. Right? One of my covers has actually been it. And got an automatic A in the course, funny that. Correct. Because he knew everything. Anyway, so let's say, but the point of this whole story was that Zach owns a bookstore. So Zach is now publicizing his bookstore. So how does he do it? He lights a bunch of candles outside to let people know it's there. And everyone says, hey, right? Zach has this very clever idea. Nowadays, everyone draws attention to their store through neon lights. So he's going to go vintage and say, if I go all the way to the opposite extreme and don't have it, but I light a million candles, right, then people will say, hey, that bookstore stands out. I'm sorry, I'm just coming up with a case, okay? If you don't want to be the example, someone else can own the bookstore. You're happy to be the theoretical example? Good. Fine. So then, Rosh Hashanah says, that's obviously mutter, but what does that tell you? That the standard of what counts as hana'ah in Shemitah is pretty low,
yeah.
Right? So now Rosh Hashanah says, so why should that be different from the first night of Hanukkah, and why is Zach lighting candles outside of his store or his house? Mm-hmm. To publicize not his store, but to publicize the name. So Rosh Hashanah says, aha, isn't this the same? Right? Once I've lowered the standard of Hana'ah, and I can say that using Shemitah candles to publicize my store counts as Hana'ah, so why, if I can publicize my own wares, why can't I publicize God's wares? You know? Right? That was the analysis of Thomas Alman Wendell. So he says, right? So he says, you might not think there's a difference, but then he says, maybe there is. Why, Kobe? Right? This is Dalit. He says, maybe it's different. Why? Because at the end of the day, when Zach is writing Hanukkah candles, he's doing it for God. For the mitzvah. At the end of the day, as low as the standard is to get people into the store, right, as minimal hana'ah as that is, it's still for him and not for God. Right? So maybe you'll tell me that this is not mutter, right? So therefore he says, is, first of all, he doesn't think this is true, because, so first of all, when you light the candle, it's true that the first half hour of the Shema Mitzvah. But then what?
It goes out and reinforces.
Right, but once it goes out, right, it's beyond the Mitzvah. So he says, maybe you could say that first half hour. But if you only light half an hour worth of oil, maybe you have a Svara. But if you light more than half an hour of oil, then the Maisa Hablaka is on oil that's both the Shema Mitzvah and oil that goes beyond the Mitzvah. And therefore, he says, what you should do, and he says, furthermore, once it goes out, what can you do with the oil? Right? You can use it at least for a mitzvah, right? So he says, you could light it for shul, and as we already said, by Shemitah, that's enough, right? So therefore, he said, during the early nights of Hanukkah, it's definitely mutter, what should you do? You should say, whatever left oil there is, you'll use for a mitzvah, like lighting for the shul, and therefore, that'll be fine, because that's enough. And then he says, and don't tell me that it's usher because you're minimizing the hana, right? Because even if you'll say you're getting hana, maybe you'll say that in Shemitah you're not allowed to minimize hana.
Right.
He says, that's not true. Right? He says, that's not true.
Wait, but why can't you say that, like, you have this tub of oil before you, that this tub of oil is going to be for the menorah and for the salt, so it's nice.
Right, so he says you can, and that's fine.
Beforehand.
Correct. That's what he says to do. And he says, that's fine. And therefore he says for the same thing, he thinks you'd be allowed to use Shemitah oil to, like, put it on meat of a carbon. Right? Even though it's partially Shem Mitzvah, and even though some of it's going to be thrown out. Right? If you don't finish it in time, you have to burn it. He says, it doesn't matter. You're doing it derech achila. Even if you're not getting enough. So, to summarize, so that's the end of Rosh Hashanah's Amos Teshuvah. So, let's review what we saw. The simplest shot is to say that are you allowed to use Shemitah oil for simplest shot. Are you allowed to use Shemitah oil for Hanukkah?
No.
What's the logic behind that? Two things.
So we think you can say no to.
Very good. But the simplest is it's usher to use Hanukkah candle, and on Shemitah it's mutter to light candles to benefit from them. Those two things don't go together. That's the pot of shoulder. If you want to monitor it, there's two directions you can go. One is to minimize the Isra Hana'a of the Hanukkah candle, right? Which is like, for example, Balamor, who says it's only usher, right? That it's only usher for personal use, but not for mitzvah. The Taz, who says it's not really usher for Hana'a at all. It's that,
that
once you have it, you're not supposed to be mavaz of the mitzvah, and you have to make it clear that it's l'shem mitzvah. So as long as I have a shamash, I'm now allowed to get benefit, because now I'm not being mavaz of the mitzvah. So one direction is to say, really, when you say it's usher to benefit from the Hanukkah candles, you don't really mean it. And therefore it's fine. So Zalman has a much more convoluted, but lumbishly fascinating argument, which is, no, question one is Hadlaka mutter because it's a subset of Achila, in which case, this is not, or is Hadlaka mutter because Hadlaka is mutter, right? Independently. So he says that. Second of all, he says, you do need a certain level of hana for it to be mutter, right? And then he says, okay, but do you get enough? Enough. Well, he says, well, I'm not allowed to use Hanukkah candles, right? That's fine, but what does mitzvah z'lavnei hachatzos do? Does it mean I don't get any benefit, or does it mean, right? It's not defined as being for benefit, but there is secondary benefit. If you take the second one, then there's potential benefit, right? Plus, he said, the minimal benefit, Shemitah, how high is the bar for benefit? So you think it's very high, and the minimal benefit I'm allowed to get from Hanukkah candle doesn't count. But what does he prove? That by Shemitah, the standard isn't as high as on Yom Tov, because, for example, Zach's allowed to use the candle to get people to come to his farm store. And therefore, it's a lower standard. It's a lower standard, then what does he say? Then this might count. And besides, if you're allowed to use the same mitzvah for leftover, so then the act isn't of lighting the Hanukkah candles isn't defined as mom, it's totally li'isr. It's li'isr v'la'isr, and that might be enough, right? Rosh Hashanah is making a series of moves that...
He's one cousin of them who have to answer him questions.
That's true, but what he does is he has a series of moves that limit, right, or expand what it means, the heter of Hadlaka, the heter of Hana'a, by Shemitah, that make it a Hanukkah candle, even with the minimal amount of benefit might be allowed, it counts. Right?
Can you benefit from the Mahajan or Mahajan and Mahajan that you're doing?
No, that's the same. right? So therefore, what you get in the end of the day, and like I said, I wanted you to just forget, first of all, because I wanted to do something with Hanukkah, but I also wanted to open up the sugya. And as I said, right, just to summarize, again, la halacha, the answer is, most poskim will probably tell you that all things being equal, what should you do?
Don't do it.
Don't do it, right? Because it's also l'shamish ma'ora, right? And the like. And this is, again, this is the position of the Pasuk Shulchan, right, the Imre Yosher, and the like. The reasons to be matir, again, just to summarize, so we didn't show you all of them, but the Kerem Tzion is another one of the famous matirim, right, which is Rav Altusher, Altushler. He thinks it's mutter because he holds, like, the top. Right? That, honestly, is the easiest way.
Yeah.
Right? If you want to be matir, the easiest way to be matir is to talk with the Tzav against Shulchan, which is to say, it's not up to get enough from Hanukkah general. Right? That's easy enough. Right? That's why he said it. Rav Shlomo Zalman, as we said, gets much fancier, and says, no! It's because, we lower the standard, so, whatever. Therefore, if you go online, you'll find things like Yesh makom lahadlik hadlakat ner b'shem and shvi'it, right? There is theoretically room to be made kill, right? Most folks can say all things being equal, you shouldn't. But again, Rav Shlomo Zalman is made kill because he expands the heter shvi'itah or lowers the standard kanah shvi'itah, right? The Kerem Tzion is matir because he limits what it means that it's usher b'hanah and shmita. If you're not willing to accept either of those, then you end up where the Tanah Shulchan is, where it's usher. Right? Okay, good. So that is the basic sugya, which opens up a bunch of issues. And like I said, what I basically wanted to do was also to show you how to use a single tshuva. Because you realize all of this was basically us picking apart the Shlomo Zalman's tshuva, and also to see how halacha and lamdos can very much be linked, especially in certain types of poskim, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, okay?